Oh, it's a perfect time to come out and talk to people when it's just rained and there's ozone in the air and it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Something about a storm moving through just takes all your troubles with it. All the things that you were worried about this morning, you just go away with the storm. The thunder, the clouds took them off in another direction and they're all lifted from you. And here we are. Soon we'll be back to where we were, back to this beautiful summer day, which it was this last week, several days in a row, these days with the blue sky and the big white clouds and the big round green trees, just the sort of a world that you drew with your crayons when you were a child. Beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous world, a little simpler than the real world. The real world has peonies in it, which is kind of an over-the-top show flower. It's like having Las Vegas dancers come into your home somehow. Wow, it's a big, feathery, enormous thing in shades of pink and crimson that you would never wear lest people talk about you. But there it is, just always a surprise to see peonies in the yards of Christian people. Like your mother came into your house leading a jaguar on a leash and smoking a cigarette and drinking a frozen daiquiri out of a glass. Maybe your mother does that, but my mother does not do that whatsoever. The Lake Wobegon Whippets lost a big game to the Avon Bards here this last week. They lost by a score of 11-8, lost in the ninth inning, as most games usually are lost. They felt that they were on the verge of a big comeback. They could just sense it, and then time ran out, and the game was over. It's happened so often to us in life. Arlene Bunsen took a trip down to Houston, Texas, go down to see her son, Dwayne, who lives down there and is doing well with his beautiful model wife, Danielle. They live in a condo in a suburb of Houston, impossible for Arlene to find, so she has to hire a taxi to take her from the airport and stopped at a grocery store on the way, aiming to make an apple pie for them. She's down to see this wonderful childless couple and to talk to them about Chinese children, little girls waiting over in China, waiting to be brought over to this country. She brought pictures with her just in case the subject came up. They're busy people. They fill their lives with clubs and activities and sports, and they travel, and they do all sorts of things that people without children do in order to fill their time, in order to provide some excitement in life. They left a key for her with the neighbor. She left herself in, let herself in. She walked in to their two-bedroom condo. You could tell just walking into it that no child had ever set foot in this place. There were pieces of ceramic and porcelain that you would never keep around a child, and it was perfectly neat, absolutely. She was going to make an apple pie, and she knew that Danielle did not do much cooking. That's why the kitchen looked so strange to her. She couldn't find salt or pepper. There didn't seem to be butter around. There were just a lot of frozen dinners in the freezer and a small carton of half and half in the refrigerator. That was it. That was all there was. She got out the apples to make an apple pie, and she went to mix up the dough. She couldn't find a bowl at all. She found an ornamental Chinese bowl on a mantle, and she washed that. She had to wash it with hand soap. There was no dishwashing liquid around. She couldn't find a butcher knife. She went to the condo next door, and she knocked, and the door opened just the length of a chain. She asked for a butcher knife, and the door closed. In the end, she used a letter opener to brutalize these apples. She lit the oven, and she got the dough all mixed up in the bowl, and she laid out the crust, and she was ready to put the apples in, and she smelled something strange. She opened up the oven door, and it was full of half-melted DVDs. Just been used for storage all these years. Nobody had ever used that oven. She apologized to Dwayne when he got home at 9 o'clock that evening. Well, he sympathized. He could remember back in the day when people did used to bake and cook and everything. But supper for them that night was spaghetti, which was delivered from a pizza place, along with garlic bread. And breakfast the next morning was yogurt with some cereal. And lunch the next day was lean cuisine. Danielle is a beautiful, slender woman, tan. She goes to the gym 4 times a week. And Duane is head over heels in love with her. But she has no interest in the same things that Arlene is interested in. The potential of grandmotherhood has never struck this young woman whatsoever. They go to a marriage counselor. Arlene said, "When did you start there?" Duane said, "When we got married 9 years ago. "What's the problem?" Arlene said, "We go in order to head off problems before they start." A preventative couple. And so, of course, you would not have children, because children are trouble. We know this. And so you can prevent it by not having them. She came back home. Clarence had put on the T-shirt that he'd been given by his daughter, Barbara Ann, for Father's Day. It was a big, extra-large T-shirt. And on the front, with an arrow pointing down, it said, "This is not a beer belly. This is a fuel tank for a sex machine." He put it on briefly and then took it off. If he were going to be a comedian, he should have started much earlier in life. Children are a problem. They're not easy whatsoever. It was very hard to get chaperones for this summer's Lutheran youth canoe trip up to the Boundary Waters canoe area and Lake Vermilion. Very hard to find adults who wanted to spend 6 days and 6 nights with teenagers and to sleep on the ground, especially after Viola, who was going to do the cooking, dropped out because she got Lyme's disease. Either Lyme's disease or syphilis. We think it was Lyme's disease, probably. The two are similar in some respects. To have to put up with those mosquitoes, which are fierce this year, and bug repellent has no effect on them whatsoever, and to eat bad food, and to be with teenagers for 6 days, and to have to paddle your own canoe, and to have to use the woods for a toilet, to have to go out there and do number 2 out in the woods, and try not to think about who might be watching, because self-consciousness is a major cause of constipation. People were reluctant to do this. And then the old hermit, who has no children himself, volunteered, and that shamed others into volunteering as well. The old hermit who bought the Inkvist's house in town with that enormous lawn that Mr. Inkvist devoted the second half of his life too. It was the biggest piece of perfect turf you've ever seen in your life. It was like a golf course. It was a green, lush table of grass. He had a rider mower and he used it 2 times a week. And he made the most beautiful lawn. And then when they moved into assisted living, the hermit bought the house. And he could see, looking at that lawn, that there was no way he could improve on that. And so he would be inheriting somebody else's masterpiece. He would be the curator of somebody else's accomplishment. And so he dug it up. He dug up half of it one night, and he planted catalpa trees and ginkgo trees and lilies of the valley and rose bushes and peonies by the hundreds. Lush, beautiful peonies, and he made this green bower, this paradise of plants, where once it had been flat, now there was shade everywhere, and little clearings and lawn chairs to sit on. He made all of this. In his life in the big city, he had suffered from migraine headaches once every 2 or 3 months, and he would have to go into a room and cover the windows with tinfoil. And he'd have to hang quilts on the walls to try and deaden the street noise outside. And he would live in there for 2 or 3 days in utter silence and darkness. And then he would be able to come out. Nothing seemed to help him. And then he moved to this paradise and made the paradise of peonies. And something about it, and also getting out of the banking business, becoming an unbanker, and living day to day seemed to help him as well. He told this story around the campfire to the Lutheran young people on their canoe trip. It wasn't exactly the story you would want Lutheran children to hear necessarily. A story about suffering and a story about how he was so desperately in love with a young woman and he longed for her and devoted 3 years to being obsessed with her and finally went down to Savannah, Georgia to be near her, hoping to win her back, and spent a summer in an unair-conditioned apartment in Savannah, Georgia, and that broke the spell. But somehow, somehow in Savannah, Georgia, on a hot summer night, he walked into a grove of peonies, and there his headaches disappeared. The combination of peonies and a thunderstorm. His life cleared up all of a sudden. I just pass it on to you as a little bit of wisdom. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.